So yesterday we were talking about the halacha of not doing business on Chol HaMoed. We had mentioned previously that to prevent a loss of principle, that's called Davar HaAvad, to prevent a loss of principle, you're allowed to do what you need to do on Chol HaMoed in order to prevent that. But basically, to make money, to do business, to make profit, that is something that we cannot do on Chol HaMoed. So there's a very interesting Yerushalmi that says like this. If let's say there's a shayara, which means that, you know, in the olden days, there was the market days, right? There were these traveling marketplaces, and there were traveling caravans, and a caravan would come to town, and it was a chance to, it was a once-in-a-while chance to be able to make some money. It wasn't something typical, it wasn't something regular. It was something that, you know, it was a special occasion. And when the caravan came around to do business, so the Yerushalmi says that even though we have a halacha on Chol HaMoed not to do business, however, in a situation where, like the shayara, a rare occasion comes to be able to make money, to do business, to make profit, not talking about preventing loss, but to do business, to make profit, but it's a rare opportunity to be able to do so, the Yerushalmi says the sages permit that on Chol HaMoed. They permitted that on Chol HaMoed. Typical Mecca Chamemka, typical business dealings without getting involved in preventing loss of principal, but typical business you don't do on Chol HaMoed. But if you're talking about a business deal, that is a rare occasion. It's a special occasion. It's a rare opportunity to be able to make money. That is something that we are permitted to do on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, although we talked about, you know, buying and selling stocks on Chol HaMoed, right? That typically to buy a stock on Chol HaMoed, you wouldn't be able to do so. That's considered a business. That's a business transaction. That's doing business. But let's say now comes an opportunity. A stock comes up, right? That's a really, you know, this is a rare occasion. This is a rare opportunity to be able to buy a stock and to really make and to make a good profit. It's not something that comes around that often. You'd be able to do that. You'd be able to go ahead and buy that stock. Let me just finish. If let's say there's a sale, right? But again, a rare sale, a liquidation sale. Okay, one of these crazy sales that typically they just don't do. Okay, that would be the kind of sale, that would be a situation to go to that sale and to be able to buy at that sale, because again, it's a rare opportunity to be able to make profit, to be able to gain. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, oh, there's a good sale going on now, right? But that same sale, they repeat it a couple of months from now. I mean, just because you have to wait for a couple of months for the sale to come back doesn't mean that's a rare occasion that you're able to do on Chol HaMoed. Something that does come back, you have other opportunities to do it, that's not the kind of opportunity we're talking about on Chol HaMoed. Now, sometimes, let's say a person lives in one place, they're visiting on Pesach another city, another town, another country, right? And wherever they are now for Pesach, for them, they have this rare opportunity to be able to get certain things they typically can't get, or to buy it at a good price they typically can't. That would also be a situation that we say is this their rare opportunity. But again, it has to be a rare opportunity. You know, if it's a question, if you go down to New York a couple of times a year, and now you're there in New York for Pesach, right? You can only get this in New York. But you're going to go back to New York in a couple of months from now, you can get it then. And again, that's not a situation that we say is a rare opportunity that came on Chol HaMoed. So in all these situations, again, you have to be able to sincerely calculate, is this a very special opportunity to be able to make this gain or not? If it is really that kind of special opportunity, then on Chol HaMoed is permitted to do, otherwise not. And again, you have to, you know, really sincerely calculate, is this really something that is so rare? You know, it could be a sale that comes up again later. I may be here now, I'll be coming back in the future. So you have to take those things into account. But this is something important to bear in mind, that when you have these, even though typically we're not supposed to do business on Chol HaMoed, again, outside of situations of preventing loss, etc., but just per se, you know, doing business on just going shopping on Chol HaMoed that you don't need for Yontif is not permissible to do. But again, if it's a situation where it's the situation of Shayara, the special occasion, this uncommon occasion comes up, kind of opportunity comes up on Chol HaMoed, then you'd be able to go purchase and to do business in that way.
I mean, doesn't everybody on Chol HaMoed carry money with them, buy things?
No, that's not the issue. Is not carrying. That's
what buying, I mean, you get yourself.
What you need for that day. Coffee. What you need for that day. What you need for Chol HaMoed, you can do. We're talking about what you don't need for Chol HaMoed.
So we don't know what, and specifically this applies to.
We know a lot of things apply. So
I mean, any business plan that you say, you go to the drugstore.
If you need aspirin for that day, then you can get the aspirin that day. If you're going to the store to go in and buy something that you don't need for Chol HaMoed in the second days, then you don't go.
In the meantime, you get the money, gives you a receipt.
Hirsch. I'm sorry, we discussed this way before.
I'm
just trying to explain to you that again, what you need for Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do. There is no problem carrying money on Chol HaMoed. There is no problem with that. No problem with that Chol HaMoed. The question is, can you go purchase things? So the things that you need for Chol HaMoed, which can be something that you need every day. It doesn't have to be special yontif. You buy a newspaper every day. Today, if you want today's newspaper, that's a need for today. That's called the Chol HaMoed need. You can go do it. But if you're talking about going in and just going shopping because you have an opportunity to go shopping, but not for something that you need for Chol HaMoed or for Yontif, that you can't do on Chol HaMoed. Now, there's another halacha, another rabbinic law on Chol HaMoed, something that we find similar on Shabbos. There is a halacha on Shabbos called Schar Shabbos, getting paid for doing something on Shabbos. If you can go ahead and if you have a guy do something for you on Shabbos, you're having an affair, right? And you're having waiters, okay? You got to pay your waiters, right? Waiters get paid, okay? So, assuming that whatever you're telling the non-Jewish waiters to do, it's permissible to do that. We know there's certain things you could tell a guy to do on Shabbos, certain things you can't. But assuming that whatever you're telling him to do on Shabbos you're permitted to ask him to do on Shabbos, and you want to pay him, you know, you're paying him for that day's work. If it's a guy, it's not a problem. If it's a yid, it is a problem. A yid cannot take pay for work, even for something he may do on Shabbos. He may not take pay for it. That's called Schar Shabbos, a special rabbinic decree. You cannot get paid for doing something on Shabbos. Now, at the same time, there is a way to get around that, and that's called Havla. Havla means, if let's say I'm going ahead and I'm paying you for something else, not just for your Shabbos work, I'm paying you for something else, then basically once I'm paying you for something else, what I typically would pay you for your work, I can put that into paying for that other thing. So let me give you an example. Okay? You're having a Simchan Shabbos, and you hire a wait staff. Okay? You hire a wait staff. And throughout New York, throughout Lakewood, you have Jewish wait staff doing all these things on Shabbos, okay? Now, of course, they're only doing things you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But how do you pay them for their work on Shabbos? The answer is, they're already there before Shabbos setting up. Or let's say they're there after Shabbos cleaning up. So once you can already be paying them, right, for what they do before Shabbos or after Shabbos, you can, so to say, you can now swallow up within that the amount that you pay them, that you would be paying them for their other work that they happen to be doing on Shabbos. That's called Havla. That's halacha. Okay? This same halacha of schar applies, of being paid for work, for things that you do, applies on Chol HaMoed also. That prohibition applies to Chol HaMoed too. That's one of the rabbinic decrees that they did make apply to Chol HaMoed. And therefore, you got to sit down and figure out, sometimes when you're hiring Jewish work, okay, a Jewish worker, to do something with Chol HaMoed, you've got to sit down and figure out, am I getting into a problem of schar Chol HaMoed, of paying him to do work on Chol HaMoed? You know, if you have a cleaning woman, right, that's a Jewish cleaning woman, you want her to come on Chol HaMoed to clean, you could have a problem. Because this is a problem even for Chol HaMoed needs or for Yontif needs. You'd have to figure out, you know, how you can do it. So let me give you an example that I heard. I mentioned to you that much of this that I'm telling you comes from Rabbi Yosef Berger of Baltimore. So he mentioned that years back he was going to a shir from the author of Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa. And it was a Chalamayit shir on Chalamayit. And Rabbi Neuwirth posed the question, if you take a taxi on Chalamayit, how do you pay the taxi driver? Schar Chalamayit. The answer he gave was that there's going to be there's havlah there. There's havlah by the taxi driver too, because when the taxi driver charges you, right, what is he charging you for? He charges you for his time. He charges you for his gas. So once you're already paying for his gas, right, once you're paying for that, that already allows you to pay for his services too. So
the only problem in Israel, everybody's Jewish.
Right. Correct. That's where shir took place. Took place in Israel. Okay, now, the exception to this to bear in mind, which again, maybe...
Havlah extends to not just the services, but the incidental expenses.
Yes. You can do Havlah with that too.
So that's okay.
Yeah. Let me give you another example, just once we're talking about it, okay? You pay a chazan for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur services, right? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur services? That's Yontif. How are you paying him? So the answer is, in the good old days, the chazan came for Slichas. Okay? That was in the good old days. You could also say that you pay him for the time that he does to practice. You know, most of the time a chazan practices. Yeah, I mean, again, as long as it relates, you'll be able to find some kind of a solution. It is something that, I mean, it becomes a bit of a stretch sometimes, but there is a way, again, there's his practice time. A Baal Tekeah for sure practices. Baal Tekeah for sure practices, but a chazan also practices. I know my brother-in-law practices all the time before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when he comes. So therefore, there... Well. Okay. So again, there are... It's all right. There are ways of doing this. Now, actually, maybe one of the examples I gave before with the waiter wouldn't be such a good example, because there are exceptions to the rule of where you could pay someone for their services on Chalamayid, and that is for services rendered for Oichal Nefesh, for food preparation. Like if you're permitted to do food preparation, right? During Yontif, right? So whatever would be considered food preparation for Chalamayid, you'd be able to pay a person for that. You'd be able to pay a person for the purposes of preventing a loss. Davar ha'avad. We spoke about certain things you can get done even if it's skilled labor, if it's prevent a loss. If you want to pay a person to prevent loss, again, that would be something you can pay him for.
I remember we had a job here once and we had a wait staff. And I couldn't understand why you told me this, but you told me, listen, tell them they don't have to clean up. I said, what do you mean they don't have to clean up? That's part of their job. No, tell them they're not supposed to clean up. If they want to clean up on their own, I'm not going to stop them, but they're not supposed to clean up.
That was Shabbos.
It was Shabbos. That's exactly what I told them. And I knew I was dealing with, they're very meticulous. They weren't going to leave a mess. So they cleaned up, but they weren't cleaning up for us. They were cleaning up for them.
Yeah. Okay. That goes into the... But that's a different problem. That's not so much the schar problem as much as what they can do for you.
Yeah.
Okay, one last example. Okay, so again, really for the things that we spoke about that you can actually do skilled labor for a yontif need, right, which was food preparation, prevent a loss, tzarech hayaguf, needs for the body, right? Again, all these things are the same things that you could pay someone to do. There is an interesting, the Mishabura says that in these situations, it would be better to ask a guy to do it than a yid. But again, you have to know how far to take that, because you know, if you've got your plumber, right? There's a leak, right? And you're trying to fix the leak, because if you don't fix the leak, that can cause damage and loss, right? You've got your plumber, right? You're going to start hiring a different plumber. He's a Jewish plumber, right? A Jewish plumber who does your work, okay? And he's the guy who usually does your work for you, right? So now we're going to say you have to go. What Mishabura is saying is a chumra, it's a stringency. So, you know, are you going to say that when you typically have a person that you work well with, but because it's chalamayid and it's better to you than a guy, I should take my chances with a guy? That's not so simple to say. So therefore, again, you know, if you ever have that situation, you know, you should ask a shayla. But according to the actual halacha, you could even have a yid do it. That's the whole point. The schar chalamayit is permitted to prevent loss or for tzarech hayaguf, or to be able to perform the kind of bodily needs that are needed for a chalamayit. So here's another example, and with this we'll conclude. You have an example of, you want to go out on chalamayit, and you want to hire a babysitter, right? A nice Jewish girl wants to give you for a babysitter. How do you pay her for her services? The answer is that babysitting is tzarech hayaguf. It's for the protection of the children. And therefore, that falls under tzarech hayaguf. And for tzarech hayaguf, for physical, you know, for the bodily, physical needs of someone, you are allowed to pay that person for the services on chalamayit.